We have entered a particular time of year here in Minnesota. We are a state that has plenty of agriculture, plenty of farming. Some of you here know what it is to farm. Maybe you grew up on a farm. Maybe you are on a farm or someone that produces agriculture right now. And over the last few months and on for perhaps a few more weeks, there will be something that is called a harvest. A harvest. Now, how do I know that it's harvest season? I know that it's harvest season because I just got an email about, I think this last week, inviting me to a harvest party at the Medfords. If it's a harvest party at the Medfords, it must be harvest season. And so we know that it is harvest season. Now, I think recently, a few weeks back, my wife and I went to the Pine Tree Apple Orchard near in Delwood, around Delwood, Minnesota, and it's a great old apple orchard. Unfortunately, we were pretty early. We were at the end of August, and it wasn't very much full. But now, of course, there's plenty of apple picking going on and all kind of harvest activities. So I thought this morning I would bring out something that would be something of an indication of a harvest season. Luke's going to help me out here by bringing out something that we'll use as something of an illustration of what we're speaking about here today with harvest season. Now this is a tree. This is a tree, and this is something that if you were to look at this little description here, this thing that's still there, okay, I'll just tell you the backstory on this. My mother very graciously purchased this tree for us, and we're just waiting to plant it until a little later in the fall. And so this is a tree. You can see, if you can see here closely enough, it is an apple tree. It is an apple tree, and the question for us today is how will we know that it is an apple tree? How will we have proof, conclusive proof, that it is an apple tree? I know some of you children are smart here today. You're going to be able to figure this out. How are we going to be able to tell that this is an apple tree? Any ideas? How will we be able to tell in a few years? Because it will produce what? Because it will produce apples. Now, can you imagine if I took a particular seed, say an apple seed, and I put it down into the soil, and this tree started coming up? So I planted an apple seed, and the seed started coming up, and I was sitting there and saying, I can't wait till this thing gives me some oranges. What would you think about me if I planted an apple seed in the ground, I put an apple seed down there, and it started coming up as a tree, and I say, come over in 2 years, we are going to have oranges. What would you think about me? I am crazy. I'm either absolutely out of my mind, or I'm just deceived. I'm just confused. Why? Because we know that it's a law that when you plant something, whatever seed you plant, that is going to be what it's going to come up and produce fruit from. Now, friends, Paul, in our passage in Galatians chapter 6, points to this very same picture, this same illustration, and says, whatever you sow, whatever you plant in the ground, that you will reap. That will be what your harvest is. But friends, even though we know it is a physical law, some of us get a little confused. We get a little deceived by not recognizing that that principle of what you sow, what you plant, you reap, is also a spiritual law. And that is why Paul opens this wonderful principle by saying something remarkable. He says, be not deceived. Don't be fooled. Don't be crazy. Don't be confused. Because God is not mocked. This morning, I'm going to title the message very simply, A Sower's Deception. A Sower's Deception. And we are going to ask ourselves this morning whether we are being just as deceived as a person who would put an apple seed in the ground and expect a harvest of oranges.
A sower's deception. And let's talk first of all, under our first heading of the morning, is going to be a planting. A planting. Now, all of you know what it is, or have at least read about or seen pictures of what it is to plant something in the ground. Now, some of you children, I'm going to go to some of you very smart children. What do you plant in the ground when you want something to grow? A seed. That's exactly right. We plant a seed in the ground, and from that seed, from that one seed, springs up this tree. And from this seed, eventually, is going to spring up this tree that is then going to bear fruit. There is planting that happens. It must happen. That tree did not come up without anything going down into the ground first. It did not spring up of its own. There had to be a seed. Now, hear what Paul is saying here spiritually when he says, whatever you sow into the ground, you will reap. Now let's think about what kind of seeds do we sow in our lives? What kind of things do we put down into the soil of our lives and look for certain things to be produced from that seed? What kind of seeds is he talking about here? Well, let me ask you a question. When a farmer takes seeds to plant them, where does he get those seeds? Where does he get those seeds? Do they just fall out of the sky magically for him? No. A farmer, in many cases, purchases his seed. I read recently that a bag of seed corn might put back the farmer over $250. A bag of seed corn costs money. The farmer goes and purchases it. He makes an investment in a specific kind of seed, and then he goes back into his field, and he and whoever of his family is in the planting business puts the seed into the ground. In other words, a seed is a resource. And planting a seed involves investing a resource. Now, can you think of the pictures in Scripture that Jesus talks about of the sower going out to sow, or be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. Doesn't it bring to life this picture more when you understand the investment that the sower, the farmer, is making in the ground? He is taking seed that he paid for, and he is putting it down into the ground, and he's saying, is it going to come up? I don't know. I sure hope so, but I just put a lot of money into the ground. I just sowed a lot of resources into the ground. And what's true for each of us is that each of us have resources. We have things that we invest in something else. What are some of those resources that we invest in various places in our lives? We have money. Many of you have a job. Many of you get payment for what you're doing. And did you know that you take that resource and you invest it, you plant it, you put it in the ground, so to speak, in the soil of your life? You plant it. What else? What other resources do you have to invest? You have your time. Now, time, I think, is one of the resources that we overlook the most. And I can tell you, over the last couple years being pastor here, it has only opened my eyes more to how much of an investment time is. What a valuable resource your time is. You can invest your time in many different ways throughout the day. What are some other resources? What about your strength? What about your energy? What about your brain power? What about your creativity? All these things are resources that we can invest, and when we invest them, it is as if we were planting them in the ground. Now, friend, what Paul says here is you are taking this resource of your seed and you are planting it in and to either of two things. You're either planting it to your flesh, you're either investing it to your flesh, or you are investing it to your spirit, in the spirit. That's either, you're either doing one or the other. Now, these two concepts, the flesh and the spirit, are central to understanding the Christian life. What is the flesh? What is it when the Bible talks about your flesh? It means it's in essence, It is your fallen human nature. It is the very natural things that your self wants to do. Now, it's a nature that was passed down to you from Adam. And it's a nature that is ultimately characterized by me, myself, I, selfishness. Now, think about a little baby. Think about what is very natural for that little baby to do. I have about a three-month-old at home right now. Do you know my little three-month-old couldn't care less whether my needs are being met? She could not care less whether I am getting enough food, whether I am getting enough sleep, whether I am satisfied and fulfilled in what I'm doing. She only cares about, am I getting enough food? She says, am I getting enough sleep? Am I comfortable? That is her nature, to watch out for herself. That is who she is. And as that little child grows, that nature will only get stronger. If you want any proof of that, go watch my little two-year-old, Lars, and his little cousin, Sam, decide who gets to share the basketball. And you will see very quickly that it is in their nature. None of us needed to teach them to say, you know what, Lars? You want that ball, don't you? And you don't want Sam to have that ball, don't you? So you go take it from him, shouldn't you? You don't need to teach him that. He sees a ball. He says, I don't care whether Sam is happy. I don't care whether Sam wants it. I want it. Friends, that is your flesh. Your flesh is characterized by selfishness, by what you want, by what your needs are. Now, what is the Spirit? The Spirit is referring to the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that comes in and indwells and lives inside every single person who is saved, who is a Christian, who has been born again. When you submit yourself to Jesus Christ, you say, I can't make it to heaven, but you have opened the way for me to heaven. I am trusting you for salvation. I repent of my sins, believe on Jesus Christ, and I am saved. The Holy Spirit comes in to dwell. The Holy Spirit is God. It is God living inside you. And what the Apostle Paul is telling us is when you take your resources, your money, your time, your energy, your creativity, any of the resources that you have, you are either sowing them to your flesh, selfishness, or to the Spirit. Now, let me ask something. Let's actually just for a moment try to separate these things to make it a little bit easier for us to understand what it looks like to sow to the flesh and to sow to the Spirit, to place our either self seeds into the ground or our spirit seeds into the ground. Now, first of all, we need to understand a few things, and these will be our three subpoints here. First of all, it has to do with a priority. A priority. Now, the flesh, its ultimate priority is who and whose needs being met. Remember what we said about the flesh? The flesh is selfish. So who does the flesh care about the will being done? Whose will does it want to see be done? Mine or God's? Have we been listening, kids? If the flesh is selfish, if I am selfish naturally, who do I want? Let me say this. Whose will do I want to be done? What I want or what God wants? What I want, because we're selfish. And so the flesh says, my will. What I want to be done should be done. I want my needs met. Now, friends, what is the Holy Spirit all about? Do you know that the 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that we have the very mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit? Romans 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit beseeches, he prays for us in a sense. He is the one that brings us into convincement about what the will of God is. And so when we sow to the flesh, it is fundamentally about my will being done. When we sow to the Spirit, it is fundamentally about His will being done. Big difference. The priority. What's the priority? Secondly, what's the power? What's the power? You see, the flesh is all about self-sufficiency. The flesh is all, the selfish instinct is for me to pull myself up by my bootstraps and say, you know what? I can do it. I'm powerful. What story do we celebrate in our culture? The one who made it all on their own. The one who sings with Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. I did it under my power. I can do it. What does the Spirit say? Acts 1 tells us, Jesus said to his disciples, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In other words, sowing to your flesh means my will and my power. Sowing to the Spirit says your will and your power. That is fundamentally the two ways we can spend our resources. We can invest our seed. And third, it's not just a priority. It's not just a power, but it's a purpose. It's a purpose. What do we desire with the things that we invest? What does our flesh want? Our flesh wants recognition. Our flesh wants glory. Our flesh wants to be praised. Jesus said of certain, it was John who said it in John 12, that there were certain people who loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They wanted to be lifted up. And friends, fundamentally what it is to be sowing to the flesh is when I sow my resources so that I will be lifted up, so that I will be made to look good, so that others will look at me and say, wow, what a Christian. Wow, what a basketball player. Wow, what a lawyer. Wow, that's what we want. We say, yeah, that makes me feel good, doesn't it? Friends, what about sowing to the Spirit? John, in the book of John, Jesus tells his disciples, he says that the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. And that means when I'm sowing to the Spirit, it's not my glory, but it's His. I'm saying, Lord, you be glorified as I invest this time, this money, this energy. You be glorified. Because the purpose of the Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. So friends, this tells us very simply about where we are investing our resources. When we invest it on my will, on my basis, what I want to be done, we're sowing to the flesh. When we are sowing in such a way to say, God, your will be done, not my will, as Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done, that's part of what it is to sow to the Spirit. When we say, Lord, I want to do it, self-sufficiency, self-power, I can do it, I can live my life the way I want, what do we say? We're sowing to the flesh. When we say, not my power, but your power, I can't do it, I can't live the Christian life like you want me to, I can't live my life at all unless it's through your power, that's part of sowing to the Spirit. And then when we say, hey, I want to be lifted up, I want to look good, we're sowing to the flesh. Friends, can you imagine here if I got up into this pulpit and I was not a human being, but I was a robot? And I moved very robotically and I had a sermon that was programmed in to my memory and I had a certain mechanism that spoke in certain inflections that was just a computer program. What glory would I have as a robot? How many of you would look at me and say, oh man, that robot receives all the praise. No. It wasn't my sermon, it wasn't my will, it wasn't my power, and so therefore it's not my glory. And that is what it looks like, the person who is sowing to the Spirit. When we invest our resources to His will, by His power, for His glory, that's what it means to sow to the Spirit. When we invest our resources to our own will, by our power, for our glory, we're sowing to the Spirit. And friends, those are the two ways you sow. You're sowing in either one of those two ways. Why? Because the Bible says that the flesh and the Spirit are contrary to one another. They're fighting against one another. They're mortal enemies to one another. God and self do not mix. And friends, just as it is, if I were playing a football game or watching a football game, when one team is struggling, the other team is prevailing. And when the other team is prevailing, the other team is struggling. So it is that I'm either sowing to my flesh with how I'm investing my resources day after day, or I'm sowing to the Spirit. It's those two ways. So first of all, we see the planting. The seed that goes down into the ground is either being sowed to the flesh because it's my will, my power, my glory, or it's being sown to the Spirit because it's about His will, His power, and His glory. Now second, let's understand here, a product. What is produced here, the Apostle Paul says, I want you to understand that when you sow to your flesh, you will of your flesh reap what? Corruption. And when you sow to your Spirit, when you sow to the Spirit, pardon me, you will reap of the Spirit life everlasting. Now let's think about this for just a moment, okay? When I put an apple seed into the ground, in a few years, I'm going to expect that what comes off of this tree is what? Apples. And I'm going to be able to eat them and taste them and enjoy them and cook with them. Not me cook with them. You wouldn't want me to cook with them. But anyway, they could be cooked with, I should say. And you say, I want to enjoy the fruit of this tree. Now, friends, what kind of fruit comes off the tree, so to speak, the life? What is that which will be harvested for those who sow to the flesh and those who sow to the Spirit? First of all, what will be harvested? What will be harvested? Paul lays it out very clearly. When you invest your resources for your will, by your power, for your glory, you will inevitably reap corruption. You will inevitably reap nothingness, vanity. Now, this is a remarkable word here that he uses. Of the flesh, you will reap corruption. It actually is related to a Greek word that has the idea of waste. You will find utter waste. Now, think of how sad that would be for the farmer who has paid so much for the seed crop, and he puts this seed down into the ground, and something comes out that is worth nothing to him, and he says, my resources have been wasted. Friends, it's the exact same thing when you sow to the Spirit. When you do anything to your will, by your power, for your glory, what the Bible says is that you will reap corruption. You will reap nothing. Now, friends, Jesus said in John, without me, you can do nothing. No harvest will come out unless it is in me, unless it is abiding in me for, to my will, for, by my power, for my glory. Now, friends, we think about that in our spiritual lives and it should sober us a little bit. Some of us say, hey, look at verse 9. Don't let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. We're saying, oh, we're working hard here for God. Oh, we're doing so much in this ministry. We're teaching and we're bus captains and we're all these things. Friends, if your work in this ministry is by your power, to your will, and for your glory, you won't reap anything. There will be nothing coming out of it. It'll only be corruption. Now, what does he say for those who sow, invest to the Spirit? Paul says, they inevitably will reap life everlasting. And friends, I suggest to you this morning, he's not just talking about a quantity of life, that you will live life forever. We understand that glory it is, that heaven will mean eternal life in quantity. But friends, I think he's talking here about the quality of life. Because when the Bible talks about eternal life, it talks about something that I possess right now. It talks about the fact that Jesus Christ said, I came to give that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly right now. And friends, Paul, in the chapter before this in Galatians 5, tells us a little bit about what that abundant life can look like. The life of love, of joy, of peace, of long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, all these things, there's no law. Paul says, there is life everlasting that will be reaped when there are resources that are sowed to the Spirit instead of to the flesh. So what we will reap, but really the next question is why? Why is it that whenever they're sowing to the spirit, there's corruption. And whenever they're sowing to the flesh, whenever they're sowing to the flesh, there's corruption. Whenever they're sowing to the spirit, there's life everlasting. Well, let's just make it very simple. Because your flesh is all about you. And you are a corrupt, you are leading to corruption. Now, what do I mean by this? This body that you have here will one day die. Unless Jesus comes back, all of our bodies are, in a sense, dying right now. We are leading toward corruption. And when we are sowing to ourselves, sowing to our own will, by our own power, for our own glory, the end result is inevitable worthlessness. Absolute zero. But friends, it's also true that for those who have spent their entire life doing nothing more than sowing to their flesh, the end result for them is not just the corruption of nothingness, it's the corruption, it's the destruction of eternal judgment, of eternal punishment in the lake of fire. What a sobering thought. And why is it that those that sow to the Spirit reap life everlasting? Because it's Him. Because it's God that is supplying the power. It is His will. It is for His glory. Of course, it will be of His life that we reap. It's very simple. The what, the why, and third, let's focus here on the when. The when. When does this reaping occur? Now, friends, I want you to look. Children, look up here. Do you see any apples on this tree? Do you know that we're going to have to wait a few years after we plant this apple tree in the ground before we're going to get anything out of it? Friends, do you know it's sometimes true that we don't see the full reaping of what we are sowing until later in the future? Sometimes we see it immediately. But at other points, there is a delay, so to speak, in reaping. Paul says that exactly. He said, that's why you don't faint in well-doing. In what you're sowing to the Spirit, you do not faint if you don't see the reaping right away. Because in due season, he says, you will reap if you faint not. And it's the same thing for when we sow to the flesh. You look around and you see people who are sowing to their flesh in everything that they do, living lives of complete open sin, and they seem to be so happy. They seem to be so fulfilled. They seem to be doing so well for themselves. And you say, well, what about them? I don't see much in their lives. I don't see much reaping of corruption in their lives. They've got it all right now. You go look in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon looks at this and says, under the sun, he says, all is vanity. All is vanity. This thing happens to the wicked person and the righteous person alike. But friends, Paul says, just because you don't see its effects, just because you don't see it right now, doesn't mean that that tree that you've planted won't one day produce fruit. And it'll be corrupt fruit. So you see, friends, first of all, there's a planting. We are taking our resources and we're either planting them to the Spirit or we are planting them to the flesh. The product of that is either going to be corruption for anything that is to my will, by my power and for my glory, and it will be life everlasting. It will be eternal, abundant life that we will be reaping when it is sown to His will, by His power, for His glory. And third, I want to talk here about a problem. About a problem. You see, friends, why is it that so easily we are deceived and are confused when we think that we can sow to the flesh, when we can sow to self, and yet it's all going to turn out fine in the end? We're not going to reap corruption. We're not going to reap these things that Paul is saying. The problem is that we are so easily confused. First of all, let's understand that this problem starts with being deceived. With being deceived. Now, there are, in essence, two kinds of deceptions here. One deception is the person who says, I've got no time for God. I only want to do what feels good to me. If it feels good to me, I will do it. I don't care what God says. I don't care what the Bible says. If I want to go and get drunk, I'm going to go and get drunk because it feels good. If I want to go do drugs, I'm going to go do drugs because it feels good. If I want to go sleep around, I'm going to sleep around because it feels good. I want to do what makes me feel good. What is that? My will, my power, my glory. I want to be lifted up. You go out around into the clubs last night of people who were out living a life of partying, of carousing. You know what it was? You just see the human nature. Flesh coming out. They want to be glorified. They want to be seen as being something. My brother was telling me on someone he knew on Twitter yesterday who was broadcasting to the universe that he had just purchased two more Rolexes and a chain. And the idea was, oh, it's kind of hard to be this special, right? I just bought two new Rolexes and a chain. What is that? My glory. I want to be seen as something special. And that is what our culture rejoices in. You look at our music today. What is our popular music all about? What I want getting done. What I want to do, I can do. And I should be glorified in the process. Friends, that's worldly. That's worldliness, fleshliness. Hey, young person, have you ever asked yourself the music that you are listening to, who's it glorifying? Whose will is being done and celebrated in that music? Whose power is being celebrated in that music? If it's about you, if it's about the flesh, that's worldly. That's something you have no need to be listening to. You see, friends, there is sowing that is happening. And yet that person, for some reason, thinks, you know what? I'm not going to have a problem from this. I can go and keep on sowing to what I want. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 tells us, and I'm paraphrasing this, but it says, because a sentence against an evil work is not executed swiftly. In other words, because judgment doesn't strike down right away, the hearts of the sons of men are set in them to do evil. Here's what this means. People sow to their flesh and they say, well, I don't see anything bad happening right now. In fact, I feel happy. I feel fulfilled. I'm on a high from those drugs. I'm on a high from what I just did. I don't see anything bad going on. And they're deceived. They are deceived. Because Paul says, one day they will reap. Now, friends, this deception is related to what is definite. What is definite? You see, what Paul says is, be not deceived because God is not mocked. God is not going to be sneered at. God is not going to be tricked. God is not going to be fooled. Now, friends, we see the person who has been sowing to themselves, sowing their own seeds, sowing seeds to the flesh. And they say, hey, God, you're not striking me down yet. They're like those scoffers that are mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 3 that scoff and mock and say, hey, where's the promise of his coming? When's he going to come back and judge, huh? I don't see him yet. But friends, that seed is in the ground. That seed is growing right now. And someday it will produce awful fruit for them. Now think about this for a moment, how foolish this is. One of the other physical laws that we recognize in the universe is gravity. Gravity. What does the law of gravity tell me? The law of gravity tells me that what goes up must come down. It tells me that if I jump from these steps, I will soon hit the ground. Now I want you to imagine with me something. I work in the Wells Fargo building downtown. It is 55 stories tall. I work on the 25th story. Can you imagine if one of you came to me and said, I don't believe that this whole law of gravity thing really does anything. I don't believe that if I go against the law of gravity, anything bad is going to happen to me. And to prove this to you, I'm going to walk up to the 55th floor of the Wells Fargo building and I'm going to jump. I say, no, don't do that. That's crazy. No, that's dumb. Don't do that. Don't be deceived. He says, no, I'll show you. Now imagine that person goes up to the 55th floor and hurdles himself off the top of the building. And he is falling down. And after a matter of seconds, he passes floor 25, where I'm standing there watching. And imagine as he is hurtling past floor 25, he says, ha ha, nothing bad has happened yet. What would we say about that person? You are deceived. Why? Because the fact that something hasn't happened yet, in the 30 floors you have been trying to defy the law of gravity, doesn't mean that in the next 2 seconds, when the next 25 floors go, your life is over. And friend, how foolish is it for someone to sow to their own flesh, sow to themselves, and look at God and say, hey, nothing bad's happened yet. I'm still walking through life right now. Yeah, I'm living totally for myself, totally for what I want, totally by my own power and for my own glory. But it'll be all good. No, friend, the law is the law. And just as we look at that tree and say, that tree is going to produce apples and not oranges, so it is we look at someone or ourselves who is sowing to the flesh, and they say they will reap corruption. They may not see it in all its effects right now, but they will. Why? Because God is not mocked. Now, friends, if there is a chance that we can be deceived, that we can be tricked, that we can be fooled into thinking, I can keep on sowing to myself, to my flesh. I can keep on sowing to what I want. I can keep on sowing to things that will lift up my glory. Third, what kind of diagnosis should we look at? What kind of diagnosis, what kind of thing should we examine to say, is this me? Have I been deceived? Well, really, friend, there are one of two things. We can look at our input and we can look at our output. We can look what we put into the ground and we can look at what's coming out of the ground. And let me just say it here very briefly on our input. Friend, where are you investing your resources right now? Where are you investing your resources of money, of time, of energy? Are you investing it according to your will, what you want? You say, well, I'm a Christian. I can't do, I that means I don't do anything according to my flesh. No. Paul says in Galatians, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's commanded in Scripture. Because why? Because we can sow to our flesh. Because we can live according to what I want. We're selfish. And friends, so often we never even see it. We never even see it. Friends, if we are doing sowing things according to our power and our glory, that is the input that will inevitably lead to a corrupt output. Now, friends, do you know that when I stand here in this pulpit this morning, I have invested resources in what I am doing. I have invested my resources of time studying for this sermon. I've invested my resource of brain power, of thought, to think through this. I've invested my resource of energy and strength as I preach this message. And friends, let me tell you something. The fact that I'm preaching this message does not mean that there will be a good fruit for me. Because if this sermon is about my will and about my power and about my glory so that you look up at me and say, wow, what a great sermon. Friends, I will reap corruption. I don't care whether you're a believer or not a believer. It is the same truth for you. And in contrast, when we invest our resources where we can honestly say, this is your will, not mine. This is relying solely on your power, not mine. And this is solely for your glory. May I decrease, may you increase. We can see the promise of God that there will be life everlasting reaped. There's our input. But secondly, friends, let me ask you for just a moment about your output. You see, friends, just the fact that you don't see all the reaping, sometimes there is a delay, doesn't mean that there isn't some reaping that you're experiencing right now. And let me ask you this, friend. What are you reaping from your life right now? What are you reaping? Are you reaping corruption? Are you reaping things that you look in your life in broken relationships, in a lack of love, in a lack of joy, in a lack of peace? Or do you look at your spiritual life and say, God, this isn't how it's supposed to be. God, I'm not experiencing what I'm supposed to experience right now. When we look at our output, why don't we say, well, I wonder what my input is. If we look at our tree and we see the fruit that's coming off it right now and we say, wow, that's not the fruit that I want. Don't you think according to this law, we should look back at our input and say, well, what am I sowing? What am I investing? Where am I investing my resources in? Now, friends, so often we are deceived because we want to blame everyone else for our own corrupt fruit. We want to look at everyone else and say, well, that's my wife's fault. That's his fault. That's the soil's. That's not my fault. Just wait until I get things right, and then I'm going to start producing good fruit. Friend, no. What you sow, you reap. That's what matters. It matters what you are investing and what kind of seed you are planting. Now let's bring this down to the ground floor for just a moment. I need everyone's attention. I have a simple question for you. What are you sowing? What are you investing your life in and for? Is it His will, His power, and His glory, or is it your own? That's the first question. And friend, if your investment has solely been to yourself, if what you have sown is only to the flesh, the corruption that you will experience one day is eternal judgment, eternal destruction and corruption in the lake of fire. And friends, what is your output today? What does the Holy Spirit bring to your mind right now as what is corrupt about what's coming out of your life? May you have the discernment. May you be brought to the place this morning to say, if my output, if my fruit is corrupt, according to this law, so must my input. Friends, may we not be deceived. May we recognize this sower's deception and begin sowing to the Spirit, investing our resources to His will by His power for His glory, and trust His promise that in due season we will reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for this wonderful truth. Thank You for, Lord, Your Spirit. Thank You for the work, Lord, that He does in our lives. And Father, I pray that we would see even this morning what it is to sow to the Spirit and to sow to the flesh. Father, I pray that if there's one here this morning who has only been sowing to the flesh, who has never come to the point in their life where they've realized that they need a new tree, they need a new seed, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. We pause for just a moment here at the end of every service with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If this morning you have been convinced of the fact that you've never come to Jesus Christ by faith, you've never trusted Him for eternal life, we'll leave a moment for you to slip out from where you are and come and kneel at these steps. Someone will take a Bible. They can show you how you can be born again, how you can sow to the Spirit. Is there anyone that would come this morning? Christian, why don't you take a moment, ask the Spirit of God to discern in your life. You can be sowing a lot in this ministry. You can be spending a lot of resources in this ministry, even in your spiritual life. But where it's to the flesh, you will profit nothing. Father, may we each leave here today sowing to the Spirit and trusting You to give us that harvest of life everlasting. Thank You for the abundant life that is offered to us by the Spirit of God. Thank You for the fruit of the Spirit that He can produce in each of our lives. Lord, may it be so for each of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.